continue now with Vincent Price as The Saint.
Another bourbon old-fashioned, please.
How many do you think it'll take to drown out the explosion in your ear, Jackie?
Well, you followed me, Snooker. I was afraid you might.
Little girls who don't want to be followed shouldn't wear Chanel No. 5 and strapless evening gowns, and particularly the latter. And they shouldn't carry bombs around, either.
You can't pin that on me.
As long as you're wearing that particular evening gown, I'm inclined to believe you. But you did serve up the bomb, didn't you?
Look, I didn't know the bomb was there. Tell me, Al, is he...
Yes, Mr. Boston is deader than the city he named himself after. There'll be others unless you...
I know all the answers to that one. And even if I did...
You wouldn't tell me.
How right you are. I'm too young to die like Rose did. I'm not in any racket. I don't know it.
It's amazing how few people in this town admit to knowing anything. Must be graft in the public school system.
No. Fear. The nervous system. The only thing people in this town aren't afraid of is getting arrested.
There have been cities like this before, Jackie. And in 9 cases out of 10, when the local Mussolini was eliminated, the lesser rat scampered off the ship.
That's a big hunk you've bitten off of yourself, Robin Hood. I wonder if you can swallow through. Goodbye.
You're leaving? And I was beginning to enjoy our conversation. Also the Chanel No. 5 and everything else.
I noticed you were enjoying yourself. Pleasant memories.
Where are you going?
I'm going to find a safety zone. I'm leaving town. Don't be surprised if you get a postcard with a picture of the Arch of Triumph.
Goodbye, Jackie. And good luck.
You're the one who needs the luck. I hope you're getting... Rose was a good kid.
I'll get him.
She was a good kid.
And, thanks for the night's fat tip.
Tip? I don't know what you're talking about. Be careful how you use it.
Well, Mr. Templer, how convenient of the newspaper to keep its reference files open at night.
Are you a professional busybody, or have you an axe to grind, too?
Oh, dear me, I'm not a busybody, Mr. Templer, nor do I have an axe to grind. Merely a gun to shoot, Mr. Templer.
You know, someday, somewhere, a man will come up to me on a dark street and merely ask me for a light.
I doubt it. I'm afraid your saintly stay in this world of tears and chaos is drawing to its close, Mr. Templer. This time you've poked up the wrong fire. You seem nervous, Mr. Templer.
Who are you?
Does it matter? We'll be acquainted such a short time.
Well, I'd just like to know who it is that I am to come back and haunt.
Very well. I am known to the exceedingly few who know me as the Professor.
The Professor? I've had guns pulled on me by cops, cranks, crooks, and coroners, but I believe you're the very first Professor.
I don't mean to disillusion you, Mr. Templer, but I was merely an assistant Professor.
Oh, I'm still impressed.
If you don't mind, the car's over there.
After you, Professor.
Please, no jokes. I assure you, this is a most serious matter. Come. Here we are. You will get in, please.
Oh, after you. Oh, no, I forgot. You're not in much of a mood for joking, are you?
No. Not unless the joke is mine. Like this one? No.
Oh.
You hit him just a little harder, boys. You could have saved yourself some bullets.
I pay you to drive the car, Stephen, not to offer suggestions.
Okay, boys. Where through? The country?
First, we'll go to the place, Stephen. There are some questions I want Mr. Templer to answer. Questions that may require a soundproof room.
Oh.
Wake up, Mr. Templer.
Oh, so there really is someone like you. I didn't think I deserved that bad a dream.
Bloody but unbowed, eh, Mr. Templer? For a moment, I was afraid I might have been a trifle too energetic on your skull.
I hate to boast, Professor, but my skull's been creased before by experts. In fact, it has more treads in it than Goodrich puts in his tires.
Still fond of your little jokes, I see. How unfortunate they must be wasted on me. You see, I'm a humorless man.
So I've noticed.
I brought you here to ask you some questions, Mr. Templer.
You should have warned me, Professor. I'm afraid I didn't come prepared for a quiz.
I have various means of preparing you, Mr. Templer. So to begin, To whom did you describe your suspicions concerning a certain man's identity?
A certain man? You wouldn't be meaning the big man, would you? The head rat?
I have reason to believe you know who he is. Whom have you confided in?
Not prepared, Professor.
Shall we try the question once again?
Yes, but something tells me you'll never pay me the $64.
Oh. I can't tell you how impatient I am for your answer, Mr. Templar. You see, after you finish talking, I have other things planned for you.
How nice of you to take me, a mere stranger, in tow like this. I must remember to return all your courtesies when you untie me.
Talk!
Certainly. But to the district attorney.
Yes, I read about your boast to emulate the Northwest Mounted by bringing in your man to the district attorney. A pity you won't keep the date. What is it, Stephen?
I thought you might be wanting me for something, boss.
No, Stephen. When I want you... Stephen! The door! How many times must I tell you to keep it closed? You fool! You know how I feel about an open door.
But no bugs came in, boss. There practically ain't any this time of the year anyway.
You tell me, a former professor of entomology?
Assistant professor.
Please, Stephen. Leave at once before I do something we'll both be sorry for.
Okay, boss, okay.
Fool.
You know, it took me a little time to catch on to your particular type of insanity, Professor, but I see it all now.
Do you, Mr. Templar?
A professor of entomology, eh? The study of insects. And you studied them so hard, Professor, you're cracked.
Silence!
You're not in the classroom now with your students and your specimen bottles, Professor. You're in the big leagues now, in the World Series, Professor. You got to know everything there was to know about insects, didn't you? You knew them so well, you became afraid of them.
Shut up!
It is something to get afraid of when you turn your imagination loose on the subject, Professor. When you consider how many millions of insects there are for each human being.
Stop it! Silence! Stop it!
There's a fly on your sleeve,
no.
Professor.
Stop it!
And I think I just saw a mosquito.
Stop it!
Look, a moth.
No! No, stop it!
Look over there.
Help! No!
Crickets,
no.
Professor.
Roaches.
Locusts. Spiders.
Spiders. Help!
You have to untie me if you want me to help you.
Untie
you. You have to, Professor. Grasshoppers over there, Professor. No. And there's a centipede.
Ah.
Ropes. Professor, ropes.
Yes. Yes, I'll untie you. Oh, help me. Help me.
Out of your mind.
Oh,
that's easy. All you have to do is relax. Looks like I'll be able to keep my date with the district attorney after all, Professor. My old grandmother used to say, "Net to you."
So you kept your word, Mr. Templar. You're here. And alive.
Yes, I'm here. Despite the obstacle course of desperadoes I've run through since our last little talk, Mr. Richards.
I'm sorry to say I don't see you a prisoner, Mr. Templar. As I recall, you were to dish up the head crumb bum. I suppose you couldn't bring him in.
No, I couldn't bring him in. You see, he already was in.
I beg your pardon?
Don't beg my pardon, Richards. It's the governor's pardon you want, and you know, I don't think you'll get it.
Are you crazy?
No, just slow-witted, it seems. Being a district attorney is a wonderful cover-up for a crumb bum, isn't it, Richard?
You're insane.
Am I?
You sound insane, Mr. Templar. Rushing in here, threatening to kill me, calling me a crook and demanding money.
Oh, I see.
Of course, I'd be perfectly willing to forget all of these things. And the various other offenses I find it so cozy to dream up. If you'll just quietly leave town to pretend you were never here.
You mean just force from my memory some of the happiest moments of my life, Mr. District Attorney? Oh, no, you're asking too much.
Then it looks as though we've reached a stalemate, Templar. Unless, of course, one of us chooses to get violent.
Once I catch a murderer, Mr. Richards, I leave all further violence to the state executioner.
Once you catch him, Templar. Right now you seem to be in the disturbing position of the hunter who caught a tiger by the tail. Put up your hands.
Huh? Oh, you mean over my head? Your bug-crazy professor made me keep them at my sides.
Templar, who gave me away?
It was a remark I heard, Mr. Richards. I was told that the only thing in this town people aren't afraid of is getting arrested.
So?
So I checked Mr. District Attorney's record in the newspaper files. You have an abominable batting average, Richards. People, your people, were literally getting away with murder.
Yeah. How clever of you to notice.
You controlled the gang because you could set them free, and so you also controlled the racket.
I know. But you still have to prove your story, Mr. Templar.
Oh, it's already done. I took the trouble to switch on your intercom, Richards. I'm afraid our conversation wasn't very private.
Why, you...
And now, Mr. Richards, our personal business. Before the police get here...
Keep your hands
Richards...
up high.
Certainly. Certainly. Is this high enough? Or shall I raise them higher so I can reach this chandelier? No! Have a nice nap, Mr. Richards. I'm sorry I tore up your chandelier, but my old grandmother always taught me to put out the lights before going to sleep.
Was written by Michael Cramoy. Music was composed and conducted by Bill Fontaine. Vincent Price is appearing by courtesy of Universal International Pictures. Wendell Niles speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.